Inside Chicago Government. ChiGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloetz.
And I'm Ben Jarofsky.
Here he is. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader. And as you heard, he's here with me today. Good day, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in a Reader on November 18th, 2015. Will your property taxes go up? Depends on how you play the game.
This is actually a subject you'd probably know more about than I do.
Just because I've appealed my property taxes?
Many times.
Well, in this article, you profile four Chicagoans, three of whom rent their residences.
That is correct.
You make a couple of points. One is that even renters are affected by property taxes.
Yes, that's called the Allison True point. Can we take a moment to give credit?
Former Reader editor.
Former Reader editor. In the early O's, when I discovered property taxes, I used to write articles about how outrageous my property tax bill was. And Allison would always feel compelled to say, make sure you mention that this affects renters as well. Allison was wise enough to know that it's really hard to get Chicagoans to pay attention to anything that's happening to them. And so you have to really, you know, put it in their face. So yes, renters are affected by a property tax because renters live in property.
If an owner's taxes go up, then it's likely he's going to pass that along to the renter.
It depends on the market. This is something I've learned through renters over the years. I've interviewed them. When the market is soft, in other words, when the advantage is to the renter and not the landlord, the landlords tend to absorb the full blow of the tax hike, not wanting to pass it on to the renter for fear of losing the renter. When the reverse is true, they'll sock it to them.
Well, it's supply and demand. It's like wages, right? If there's plenty of available workers, if unemployment is high, then it drives wages down.
I guess there is something to be said for supply and demand.
I didn't even go to the U of C.
I know.
But I've tried to grab land down there.
Yes.
Another point you make in your article is that you explain that the property tax increases often occur because a government agency assesses that a property's value has increased.
That is correct.
That agency is?
The Cook County Assessor.
And in Chicago, all of the city's properties are reassessed every 3 years. It just happened this year.
Yes, it did.
Another reason taxes go up is because units of government increase their tax levy, which we talked about recently. And that's the amount of revenue that they want each year from property taxes.
So the more they spend, the more someone has to pay.
We'll talk more about the levy in a minute. In your article, you said how you pay more in property taxes than your neighbors.
Yes.
Because they go through the trouble to get their property assessments rescinded, essentially.
The raises in their property's values, they challenge, and then those raises are lowered, and they end up paying less than me.
You haven't done that.
No, because I've been negligent. This is how negligent I am. I would write about how outrageous the system is and what you have to do to appeal your taxes. And then it's as though writing about it, I had done it. I fell exhausted to the couch and never appealed.
It has only so much appeal to you.
Yes.
Ben, if you don't have time for that, you can hire someone who will do it for you and take a cut.
Okay.
And I just want to point out that two of the state's legislative leaders, namely House Speaker Michael Madigan and Senate President John Cullerton, both have law firms that regularly appeal the property taxes of large buildings.
That is correct. And let's add to that mix Alderman Ed Burke, who is the finance chair of the city council. He has a law firm that handles property tax appeals. As far as I know, those three firms, Madigan's firm, Cullerton's firm, and Burke's firms, largely do big property owners from downtown. So there's more money in that.
So let's take a couple examples of how assessments change over time. And as we said, those things affect property taxes. What I've done is I've taken a couple of buildings at random in Chicago, one owned by, let's call the person Dane.
Okay.
And the other one, Bev. Look at their assessed value over the last several years, starting in 2010. If we look at Dane's property, we see that the assessed value, which is different from the market value, it's roughly 10% of the market value. There's some other things involved there, but we won't go into it.
Yeah, let's please. No.
It was roughly $60,000.
Okay.
And then when the reassessment came around, the triennial reassessment came by in 2012. Dane's property, according to the county assessor, the assessment increased to roughly $71,000. So it's a pretty big increase.
Yeah.
But in 2013, we noticed, according to the county tax records, that the assessment went down to $50,000. So apparently Dane appealed the assessment and won a big drop.
A reduction there in the assessed value of his home. When you do an appeal, as you know, because you're skillful at this.
As is Dane, apparently.
As is Dane. What you have to demonstrate is that the assessor valued your property at a greater worth than similar property in the area. So you have to gather assessments from properties that are comparable. And then you go before the Cook County Board of Tax Appeals and you demonstrate that I am taxed at a higher rate than my neighbor, and therefore my assessment should be brought into uniformity with his or hers, and then you get it lowered. That's apparently what Dane did.
So let's talk about what's going on here, or what we think is going on here.
Yeah.
In the scenario you described, where Dane is looking at neighbors' properties or properties around Dane's house and sees, well, that property's assessment is lower than mine, but it's a comparable property. Essentially, what Dane is doing, or any appellant, is saying, hey, assessor, you made a mistake. And if the assessor agrees and lowers the assessment, that is different, to my thinking, than the assessor getting it right the first time. So what we have then is we have a system whereby anyone who shows a little more effort than you admittedly have shown,
yes,
gets the advantage,
yes,
of the, quote, correct, unquote, assessment, independently verified by the assessor.
Yeah.
So anyone who doesn't go through that trouble, to me, is being dealt with unfairly.
Yes. You're essentially subsidizing the rest of the people. Sort of like me with newspapers. I subsidize the newspaper industry by subscribing to 3 newspapers. The rest of you freeloaders...
That's voluntary. You must pay your property taxes. You don't have to subscribe to the newspaper.
No, but it's voluntary that I don't appeal. That's through my own choice. I could have appealed.
But there is a barrier to entry.
Yeah. Well, okay, so it's not an exact parallel, but it's similar in that the few are subsidizing the many, or maybe it's the many subsidizing the few. But your point's very well taken, and that's a theme that I've echoed before, is that it's like any other system, you have to understand how it works so that you can make it work for you.
So in a way, it's undemocratic.
Yeah, as most hold the presses.
It's just in.
Let me have to think about if there could be any other way to do this. There's always going to be somebody appealing. That's just our system, unfortunately, in so many ways. That just defines Chicago to the quick. It's who you know, how sophisticated you are about how things work, all of that. That governs so much of life in Chicago. I can't speak of other cities. Don't you agree? Sort of sums up Chicago.
In this case, it seems to be rather institutionalized.
It is institutionalized. And furthermore, let's go take it one step further. These people who do these adjustments, they're elected officials, so they owe their allegiance to everybody from you, who got to vote for them, to the tax lawyers who come before them and give them campaign contributions, to Cullerton, Madigan, and Burke, who...
Our tax lawyers.
Our tax lawyers, and also our...
Elected officials.
Elected officials, and also our Democratic Party chieftains, who slight candidates for office. So it's a very incestuous relationship, and if you get involved in it, even to the point of where you just appeal your taxes, even someone like you, who's an alternative human being as far as Chicago is concerned, politically speaking, even you are a player in this system. All you have to do is appeal. You know, it's not like they go, wait a minute, Gloatz, lefty, did not vote for Obama. We're not going to give him that tax break.
Part of what reflects this institutionalization is the number of agencies that one can appeal to.
Yes.
I did a check here.
Did you?
There are, by my count, 5 different appeal steps one can make. And if you don't get it in one, you can go on to the next.
Yeah.
The first is, when you receive your most recent assessment, as many people did this year, you can just appeal it to the assessor,
mm-hmm,
the agency that made the assessment. If they deny,
yeah,
the appeal,
right,
they have a re-review process,
okay,
where you can go back and do it again.
Right. And if that fails?
Then there's a whole nother county agency called the Board of Appeal.
Yes.
And that's all they do.
Yeah, that's all they do. And they're elected officials. Can you name any of the members? That was a challenge I put in the article.
Sorry.
There's that one guy. What's his name?
That guy.
I can name one off the top of my head.
Who?
Lawrence Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
Or Larry Rogers.
Larry to his contributors. And then if the Board of Appeals turns you down, then there is a state agency called the Property Tax Appeal Board.
Mm-hmm.
Yet another one.
At what point does it go to the courts?
If they turn you down, then you can go to the Cook County Circuit Court.
Right. And if they turn you down, you go to the appellate and then the Supremes.
Presumably.
Presumably, yeah. You cannot say you don't get your opportunity in the state of Illinois.
You can get as much appellant force as you can afford, right? Because you have to spend time.
That is correct.
Not every one of these steps, in fact, most of them, I would say, till you get to the court, requires a lawyer. These are things one can learn to do oneself.
Yes.
What do you call pro se?
Is that what it's called?
Well, in court, it's called pro se.
Isn't that what Dane did?
Hard to know.
Oh, okay. Wasn't that what you did? You know, it's interesting moving away from the politics of it. There are those people who just in general like to do things on their own because they have a sense of independence and just a sense that I'm in command. So for instance, instead of hiring a contractor to fix a leaky roof, they'll fix it themselves. Instead of going to the store to buy a loaf of bread, they'll bake the bread themselves. This is the same type who will then say, instead of hiring a lawyer, I will handle this appeal myself, and I will save having to pay the lawyer. Because most of these lawyers charge you a slice of whatever they save you, so you don't get the full savings.
An open question is whether that lawyer might have an advantage, not professionally, but politically, that you don't. So say the law firm you hire is Michael Madigan,
yeah,
law firm.
Yeah. Now we're leaving homeowners, and it's a whole different game when you do commercial property. It's really hard to argue that a commercial building is valued less than it's worth, since almost every building in downtown Chicago would sell for far more than they're assessing at. And every day, buildings are going for sale, particularly now in the recovered economy, for astronomical amounts. So what commercial appeals do is generally say, we're not making enough money to afford this tax hike. In other words, the value of the building is a dollar figure that's independent of what the building makes as a commercial entity. And we would go bankrupt if we were taxed at the value of the building.
So it's not based on comparable properties like the residential appeal typically is?
No, they get into the complexities of their vacancy rate, how many units are vacant, how many offices are vacant, what rents they had to offer to lure tenants into their building, what capital costs they may have had that keep them competitive, etc.
So if I'm a building owner or manager, I'm imagining when I know that the triennial assessment comes up, I might boost my vacancy rate, kick out some
tenants.
There
are instances, particularly in neighborhood properties, I've noticed, where it's probably more valuable for a landlord to have a vacant building than to scramble to fill it up, because he could probably save more on property taxes than he could make on the rent.
That's a subtlety I wasn't aware of. A strategy.
Yeah. Many years ago, when I was a young lad, I got to watch, believe it or not, Pat Quinn. He was in a different carnation of existence. He was filing an objection. The people who owned Sears Tower were seeking to have their assessment lowered so they could have a substantial savings, obviously, on their property tax bill. And Pat Quinn filed an objection to that. And he tried to introduce evidence. I remember this. It was like an introduction to this whole system. This is years ago. And I remember it was before the Board of Appeals. And Joe Berrios was on the Board of Appeals at the time with another gentleman named Wilson Frost, who our older listeners will remember as a stalwart of the Democratic Party and a former alderman. Anyway, they were just basically treating Quinn with such derision, and they would overrule his objections.
Well, is he doing it as a private citizen or as a public official?
He was a private citizen at the time. He was in between
gigs.
I think
public gigs.
He was treasurer for Harold Washington, and I think it was before he became treasurer of the state of Illinois. You know, Quinn was always a populist.
Gadfly.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the ability of citizens to intervene.
Yeah, intervene. And he lost. He got clobbered. And the Sears Tower got its lowered assessment and life went on.
Yeah, it's looking a little shabby all the time now.
Yes.
Let's move from assessments to talking about what our property taxes pay for.
Hmm.
Again, I have examples from two homes in Chicago. I have the most recent property tax bills from Dane's house and from Bev's house.
Dane and Bev.
Uh-huh. The one thing we'll notice right away that even though their total tax payments are different, the detail on the tax bills are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Namely, it talks about what percentage of the taxes go to each of the units of government that they're paying for.
And the dollar amount.
Yeah.
Okay.
So one of the things that is instructive to us is the number of units of government that each Chicago property taxpayer is paying for. And we see on each of these bills about a dozen. They are generally in the city of Chicago or in Cook County. So let's just take a look here at what they are in terms of percentage of the tax bill going to units of government. Number one we see is the Board of Education of Chicago. Almost 54%.
Yeah, they get the highest percent.
And it's way above the second place one, which is the city of Chicago, a little over like 17.5%. So just the city itself. Number three is the Water Reclamation District at 6%. These are the people that process our sewage. Very important function.
Yes.
I don't mind paying them some money for that.
That's correct.
As long as I don't have to deal with it.
I don't think there's anybody who wants to process their own sewage.
I'd pay 7%.
Yeah. Even those who bake their own bread and appeal their own taxes don't want to process their own sewage.
Not in Chicago, anyway. Mm-hmm. Number four is the Chicago Park District, clocking in at just under 6%. So again, separately from the city of Chicago is a separate unit of government that deals with the parks. Number five is Cook County.
This is relatively recent in the history of property tax bills. They've itemized the Cook County tax bill more so. So the county covers law enforcement.
There's four units here. Forest Preserve, Public Safety, Health, and just the county itself.
So if you view all that as one thing, then if you add that all together, I think the county is actually ahead of Water Rec.
Let's take a look here. It's summarized 9.4%. Is all of Cook County.
Yeah.
But by the same token, there are six Chicago units of government on here.
Yeah.
The point is that all of these units of government get to levy their own sets of taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Lest we think that this is common, the U.S. Census Bureau, who tracks this stuff, says Illinois has nearly 7,000 units of government. The next closest state for number of units is Texas with 5,100.
Wow.
And Texas is twice as populous as Illinois.
Yes.
Every one of those units, not every one of them, but many of them charge us through property taxes for their existence.
That is correct. Presumably, if you're thinking just in terms of lowering the amount that government consumes without losing the benefit of the services they provide, if you were to bring these units together into one larger unit, there would be like fewer public relations people. So not every unit would have his own PR person for so you could lower costs. That's the general argument that's made.
Economies of scale.
Yeah.
So you're generally in favor of that.
I don't know. I got mixed feelings about that. I am sympathetic to the idea. On the other hand, it's a job for a publicist. So let's see. When I think about how my property tax dollars are spent, is that an effective way to subsidize a speechwriter slash PR guy or photographer who lives in the city? Sometimes I think we should just put everybody in the payroll. And
who's doing that? It's Finland?
Is that true? I was being facetious. I didn't know.
Now I remember in Switzerland in 2016, they're going to have a referendum on whether the government should give every adult a basic income.
I did not know that. I've been thinking a lot about that lately. I'm probably right about it in terms of pensions and the whole pension issue. I guess I know I'm going to argue the other way. These days, the way public relations machinery works for public entities where they don't call you back, I think they should all lose their jobs. You're a public servant and your job is to provide public information to the public, and you don't do that, then there's no point in having you. So fire them all, consolidate all these entities, and save me some money on my tax bill.
What about the idea of using property taxes to pay all these people? There's a guy whom I think we've talked about before, named Grover Norquist, who heads something called the Americans for Tax Reform. He has a rather famous quote as follows. I don't want to abolish government. I simply want to cut its size to where I can drown it in a bathtub.
Yeah, what a guy.
Is property tax fundamentally an equitable way to pay for all this stuff?
I don't believe it's the most regressive of all the taxes because there is some attempt to make people who make more pay more. So for instance, if you buy a home that's worth $10 million, presumably you have the ability to pay more in taxes because you spent all that money on the home. On the other hand, if you bought a home for $30,000 50 years ago, and now it's worth $10 million, then there's no guarantee that you can afford to pay for that home.
As many retirees find out.
As many retirees find out. So is government saying that if your home's value rises so much that you can afford to pay the taxes, then you should be compelled to sell it because it's tough luck? That's just the way it goes. That's how markets work. Or will government say, no, we're going to step in and shelter you from the increase in your home's value by giving you some kind of senior citizen break, homeowner exemption break, low income break.
One idea that intrigues me is delaying a tax increase till when the property is sold. So there's possible income that people don't otherwise have at that point.
I remember that. In the early O's, in the mid O's, before the real estate crash, what was that, 2007, when property taxes were rising particularly heavily on the north side, particularly heavily on me, and I was writing about this a lot.
Because you weren't appealing.
I wasn't appealing. There was actually a time when I did appeal, but you're right, there was 5 years. I was really intrigued by that idea of not raising the property tax assessment.
Delaying it.
Yeah, I was really intrigued. I remember having a conversation with then assessor Jim Houlihan about it, and he was against it. I think it was because they would lose a lot of money. I believe we should move for more progressive taxes. I think you share that agreement with me. Both of us want a financial transaction tax.
Or a graduated income tax.
Or a graduated income tax.
Which is unconstitutional in our state.
The great Ms. Pardo, who taught both of us, or at least me, a lot about taxes, was a big believer in getting our schools out from under the dependency of the property tax and make them more dependent on a progressive income tax. And that way, it wouldn't be so difficult to fund them. We wouldn't have the situation we're in now where we're having to raise the property tax just to make good on our obligations that we've been neglecting all these years regarding teacher pensions.
If I'm not mistaken, former Governor Edgar tried floating that at one point.
Yeah, after he bashed his opponent, Don Clark Netsch. If you recall, Don Clark Netsch was the Democratic candidate for governor in 1994, and she actually had a plan. She ran on this, that she was going to reduce property taxes and increase the income tax.
Now I remember it was her idea.
Yeah, he bashed her as a tax and spend Democrat, and then he tried. Once the dummies of Illinois reelected him, he then, I guess to his credit.
I was going to say.
Yeah, took her idea. And try to run with it and couldn't go anywhere with it. And Quinn talked about that and never really got anywhere with it. So now we have Rauner, who talks about freezing the property tax and cutting the state income tax, which I guess is a Nordquist idea, which ultimately is intended to destroy government.
Drown in the bathtub. Yeah.
Yes. So the reality is that government couldn't operate for all its flaws and its waste and its stupidity and its corruption and its scandals, all the things that we talk about all the time. There's still some basic services that government provides that need to be funded. If you're not going to raise income tax the way Edna Pardo and Don Clark Netsch and later on Jim Edgar advocated, then we're stuck with the property tax. And it's got many failings, as we've been talking about today.
Well, Ben, that's all we have time for. Thanks for the tax civics lesson.
Thank you, Dane. I mean, sorry.
Dave.
Dave, yes.
Listeners, if you like our audio interviews, we have many written reports you also might like. You can find them on your web at chigov.com or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Search for Inside Chicago Government. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.